Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hello and welcome in to the Fog.net podcast. My name is Michael Swain, the Kansas beat writer for 24/7 Sports. Really fired up about the podcast we have coming your way today. I am joined by Wyatt Wheeler, who covers Missouri State for the Springfield News Leader. We're going to dive into the season opener for both teams this Friday at David Booth, Kansas Memorial Stadium. I'm going to cover everything you need to know about Missouri State heading into this matchup. But Wyatt, let's start off. How's the start of your week been so far? We're recording this on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, getting crazier and crazier as the time goes on, but happy I was able to make time to get on here. Lots of stuff going on in Southwest Missouri that we'll see how that goes.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us today. Let's dive right into it. I think this Missouri State team is really fascinating. You know, looking up and down the depth chart, you see a lot of transfers, maybe some new faces on the program. But I want to start at quarterback because I think Kansas fans are all too familiar with the two quarterback setup from past coaching staffs where one quarterback starts the season, another guy gets snaps. It seems like Missouri State is headed that direction. Jacob Clark, a former transfer from Minnesota, and then Jordan Pichot, another quarterback who transferred from the JUCO ranks, both were on campus last year, but the head coach said they're going to split reps. What exactly do you expect from that? Like that seems like a very interesting thing to come out and say right at the beginning of the season. What's kind of been that battle like, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's something. It's different. You go back a few years ago for Missouri State when Bobby Petrino first got here. They had a quarterback. They had a former four-star, was committed to him at Louisville before he got canned. And then he transferred over to MSU from Southern Miss. And you thought, okay, this is the guy turnover prone and everything. They play three games in the fall because of COVID. Then they play the rest of their season in the spring. They bring in another guy who's just a little more competent. Just being able to not turn the ball over. And that worked. And you saw a little bit of mix with them here and there, but nothing to the extreme that we might get come Friday night. It's been weird to watch because you go into this thinking Jacob Clark's the guy. He was second string last year, he's been in the program. Of course, Jordan has too. But this seemed to be, okay, you went and got him, maybe quarterback of the future, backed up the reigning conference offensive player of the year. And that's a tough thing to get at Missouri State when you consider that South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Northern Iowa, really, really good programs. Missouri State had one at quarterback for a year when Missouri State had been god-awful for so long that you knew Jason Shelley was going to start, but Jacob Clark was probably going to be the guy the next year. Bobby takes off. You still have pretty much the entire coaching staff from a year ago, the last few years sticking around with Ryan Beard's promotion. You still have Nick Petrino as an offensive play caller who First time offensive play caller. Never, Bobby had always called them, and he'll be Nick's first time. He didn't even do it before at different stops. So they both said, where he said, going to build the offense around who the quarterback is. And you have two quarterbacks with two different styles, because you have Jacob Clark, a 6'5" guy, going to be a pocket passer. You have Jordan Pichot, who's pretty good at sensing things coming from behind, using his legs a little bit, strong arm, when Jacob Clark's one that's going to get the ball out quickly. So just two very different looks that's going to have some similarities, but it's just going to be fascinating to see how they work it. By watching preseason practice, they didn't let us get out there to too many. The most recent one I was able to see was, I was just like, oh, Jacob Clark's going to be the guy. He's running with the ones. You're just going to say the coach speak stuff to make sure there's competition. And then Jordan Pichot was a better quarterback that day with the twos. And he gets a chance to go with the ones, and he was a better quarterback. It's like, all right, there's competition. To the point where we're sitting here now, go into yesterday, figured it'd be a no answer. And just like, oh, you'll see Friday night. But nope, he's just like, I might put them both on the field at the same time. So fascinating to watch. No idea what to expect. But you are going to see them both. They're two kind of different offenses. And I wasn't too impressed with the offense I saw when I've seen them recently. So I know Kansas had its troubles defensively, but this is a different animal when you get to the FBS ranks.
For sure. And so that leads me to my next question then. What exactly maybe do you expect the identity of this offense to be? You mentioned right there, right, you know, Pichot and Clark, two different skill sets. You know, do you really – you mentioned there to maybe that you expect a little bit of difference, but just the identity of the offense going into the year. What have the coaches kind of talked about? What's kind of been, from what you've seen in practice, what's kind of just been your feel of what to expect and how they might try and attack other defenses?
They want to run the ball more, and I think that's a good choice to do when you're a little confused at quarterback right now. And I would assume, as I say that, I assume Missouri State's going to have a quarterback takes over during that game and they won't bring them out. I would think that somebody sort of wins the job by the way the offense is going. Ride the hot hand, no need to take it out. If there ever is a hot hand in the game, I think that's always got to be said in these types of games, but they want to run the ball more. You guys being Kansas guys, I'm sure you're watching Kansas State closely at times. Jacardier Wright, transfer from Kansas State, very, very good runner in high school, where he was one of the state's all-time leading rushers. So this is a guy that runs hard. He's got a big body, fast, can catch the ball a little bit. They're going to go to him a lot more, I think, than they did a year ago. This is their best player on the offense, and it also depends on how that offensive line is going to be, which hasn't been good in the last few years under this Petrino staff. Just hasn't been there. It's what's held them back in playoff games. It's what's held them back when they've had high expectations. But Cartier Wright's going to be the guy, and you're going to see some mix of Seldon Manning, a couple of freshmen in there as well, that can do some catching out of the backfield and give them some different looks.
Yeah, well, I believe – correct me if I'm wrong here, but he was – I'm seeing here on the game notes, right? So it was Missouri State's first 700-yard rusher since 2014, Jacardier Wright was, which, you know, sounds like it's impressive. But you mentioned the offensive line there. Looking up and down the depth chart, it looks like good size. A lot of guys were 300 pounds, guys 6'5". Do you expect that to still maybe be an issue this year? What has the coaching staff done to try and maybe fix that issue?
I will always expect it to be an issue until it's not anymore. It's just that's how I've been raised watching Missouri State football for the last way too long, 7-8 years. I'm sure you feel the same way sometimes being a Kansas football guy. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're talking to the same person here when it comes to watching the great football we've watched. But this offensive line, it's just been really hard to watch at times. It's way too many sacks a year ago, not much of a push, but they did make it a priority going into this offseason. There are two guys that have been with the program on that starting offensive line, whether it's Giles Chio at right guard, Grant Goodson at right tackle. But then Christian Loaiza kind of banged up a little bit last year. They've been really high on that left guard, but you're seeing brand new starters in here. You saw some guys leave to go. They have one at Colorado. They have one elsewhere. So you're going to see some. I mean, this is a completely overhauled unit. And then you bring in someone like Daniel Sinaik, from a transfer from SMU. Hudson Lillibridge is going to be the starting center. He's a transfer from Tulane. And you might see Eric Cade come in. I'm interested in the right tackle competition. I know Cade was banged up a little bit in the fall, but that's an old transfer from Ole Miss. That's 6'7", 345 that they want on the field. So you're looking at a bunch of guys that you're just kind of throwing together. You wanted to piece it together with Hudson Lillibridge, Daniel Sinaik, and then you have three guys that don't really have too much experience. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen that work here when you're trying to throw out a brand new offensive line that doesn't have lots of continuity. They weren't going to have a choice this year because of who left the program and who was coming back. But we haven't seen that work too well. That was a point of emphasis that they wouldn't try to get, but mm-hmm. that's going to be a focus in this Kansas game, and especially these first two non-conference FCS games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned the offensive line part, right? Kansas fans know a lot about that. We're 2.5 years removed from KU allowing 40 sacks in 9 games during the COVID season. And, you know, it's come a long way from there in terms of coaching. You mentioned Daniel Sinaik. Obviously, I think maybe some Kansas folks that live in the Kansas City area might remember him. Went to Rockhurst High School, went to SMU after that, transferred now to Missouri State. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Generally, like, how much production do they return from last year? And what exactly do you maybe expect the strength of that defense to be? Because I think everyone knows the Kansas offense is explosive and potent. So where exactly do you feel like the strengths of the Missouri State defense lie?
Yeah, they've had some good defenses over the last few years. That's what got them into the playoffs that first mm-hmm. year, especially. That's why Ryan Beard was promoted to head coach from defensive coordinator. Partly why. I mean, he was a more charismatic one on that whole staff, and they deserve the continuity. I'm interested to see how this works, because they lose probably their best defensive lineman on a year that they really took a step back as far as getting after the quarterback. Darian Smith is supposed to be somebody to really watch. That's a transfer from Charlotte who's going to be a starting defensive end. From what I've seen from him, he looks like he's going to be a pretty good player in the Valley Football Conference. And then you have some returners like Devin Gorey, Jalen Williams. Those are three pretty good edge rushers as far as FCS level. Mm-hmm. They need some more production out of their defensive tackles. You're going to have some new guys in there. Armin Wallace was a pretty well thought of player. Coming out of high school, he's a St. Louis kid. And then Sterling Smithson's a defensive tackle out of Blue Valley High up in the Kansas City area. That coaches have been high on, has been a little banged up. But the whole secondary's new. P.J. Hall has some pretty good experience there. That's at safety, playing a little bit last year when they've had some really good safeties, really good corners come through. So, I think the backside of the defense can be taken care of, and they've had some really good corners come through, but it's going to be a pretty new looking group, whether it's Kalino Levine, 5'11 kid that coming from a JUCO that started in the area at the division, at one of the division twos. Jamal McMurrin's a guy that has come through the program a little bit. He also played at Washington State, but starter from last year. So secondary is going to look somewhat different. You lose the two all conference capable players, probably three. So that's going to be something to watch, because they have a lot of depth there, but just trying to see if it's good depth, because they really focus on that. And then linebackers, you have returners and Von Young, Taj Chambers, new middle linebacker who they've really liked, sophomore Jared Lloyd, played 7 games last year, but he was pretty good coming out of high school, and they really liked him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Yeah, we were talking to KU players today on Tuesdays. We get to talk to some KU players, and Dominic Pooney, one of the offensive linemen for KU, was talking about the approach of the Missouri State defense being one that's going to be aggressive. I guess, would you maybe agree with that sentiment, and how do you feel like that maybe shows itself, or how do you feel like is it aggressive, and how do you feel like they try and go about doing that?
They are aggressive. They're going to try to send some blitzers. They're going to try to jump some passes to create turnovers. And that came back to bite them more than you would have liked it to last year. But, I mean, there were times in the years before where it worked out. So you kind of want to see how are they going to play this Kansas offense when you know how explosive it is, how explosive it can be. And they've had, I'm sure you've talked ad nauseum about, oh, Missouri State gave Arkansas a challenge last year. But Missouri State gave Oklahoma State a challenge, and they kind of played them straight up a little bit. They're timely. And when they do call things like just a safety blitz or whatever, but it's an aggressive defense, but I think they want to see what can that front four do to where you're not having to send as many guys as they had, especially last year.
Got it. Well, I mean, why you're good at this, you got one of my questions that's going to come here in a second about the other Power Five opponents they've played. But one quick thing on special teams. I think for KU, that was a big issue last year, special teams mistakes. They shot themselves in the foot a lot. They've really worked this offseason to improve it, hiring new analysts, getting transfers. But for Missouri State, specialist-wise, are they a well-coached team, a team that needed to improve that? Walk us through kind of the special teams outlook there.
Well coached on special teams. Mm-hmm. Their punter is awesome. Two-time All-American. Best player on the team, as much as you love to say the punter is the best player on the team. But I'm surprised he's still here. I'm surprised one of those Power Fives didn't come and try to NIL him off of here. But he is a very good punter. I'm interested to see how the kicker situation ends up working out. They had to bring in a new one after their other guy entered the transfer portal, came back, entered the transfer portal again, and left. So it's a new guy back there. I saw him miss an extra point when I was there, but that was just one day. They had some punt returner problems that probably cost them a couple play, at least one playoff win in a couple games a couple years ago, to where they just couldn't catch the dang ball. And then they kind of got that fixed up last year. They're not afraid to fair catch anymore. But they lost their kick returner, who was a starting corner, had been working out a little bit with the Seahawks over the last month or so. And he was a really good player, and kick returner was an All-American at returning the ball. So new look at kick returner. The one guy that they have did kick return quite a bit because they kicked it away from Montre Braswell so often. So they are well coached there. They take that seriously. That's a lot of the the head coach has some special teams background to where he's going to be making sure that's well and not a problem come Friday.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm curious, you brought up the Arkansas game last year where it was a really close game until Arkansas kind of turned it on in the fourth quarter. Oklahoma State was a close game. I believe that would have been 2 years ago, correct?
Yeah.
Or three, two years ago. In those games where Missouri State has been able to keep it close with Power Five teams, what has been the consistent theme of the way that they've been able to keep it close, stay in the game for longer than I think fans, you see FCS on the schedule, and I think you sometimes think, okay, that's a walk in the park. Well, how are they able to keep it close against those teams in the past?
Well, they created some turnovers against Arkansas last year. Arkansas was, I believe they fumbled at the one and going in for a touchdown. And they created some timely turnovers to where they kept themselves in the game. They were up 10 points going in the fourth quarter. And they also did a really good job at tackling and not letting the explosive plays happen until that fourth quarter. And they had a punt return for a touchdown. They had a couple long runs to where the game got out of hand a little quickly when it looked like the Bears had a real shot at winning the biggest game and the biggest win in the program's history. So there was that. Bobby had them just ready to go. Well, I mean, the offense was and play calling and everything was just perfect that day. And but a couple turnovers here and there that you couldn't let happen. Oklahoma State muffed punt. It hurt them a lot. And they might have had a chance that they could have scored a touchdown and they were going to go for two if they got it on the final drive. But quarterback threw a little too high for his receiver when driving, when they would have been in the red zone. So they've been right there, just not letting the explosive plays happen, keeping everything in front of them. But they've been prepared and well coached and ready to go for those games. And that's going to have to be what they do on Friday and figure out what the quarterback's going to be. Cause they had a good one for those two games too. That can't be counted out. And we all knew that Oklahoma State game was the first one Jason Shelley had ever played in. And it's just like, all right, this is going to be one of the more special players to come through the program.
So I'm curious, as a team now going into this year, what's kind of the vibe been like? You mentioned being out of practice. You've talked to coaches. What is kind of the feeling been around the team entering what is a new era, right, with Bobby Petrino now at Texas A&M?
You know, a lot of them feel like it's the same because it's the same people still around them, maybe just a little more energetic and Bobby's not cussing in their faces. And I enjoyed it. For all the crap Bobby gets, I loved my 3 years with him. It's just, just working with him was one of the highlights of my young career so far. He was great with us, and I hope more and more people are able to see that side of him. Mm-hmm. But you know, when a referee gets in the way of a pass play during a scrimmage, I know Bobby's going up and cussing out that referee. But when I see a referee get in the way during a scrimmage and Ryan Beard's a head coach, Ryan Beard runs over, helps him up, and asks if he's doing okay. So, I mean, you are seeing a little bit more of that connection, that just a little more youthful love for these players. This guy's 34 years old. He's not much older than you and I, and he's the head coach of this football team, and players are able to connect with him. He's a good preacher out there. He's fun to listen to talk, and has attached himself to this area and loves his kids, loves the kids. And I think that's something that shows a lot more because Ryan's the head coach.
Got it. Awesome. Well, Wyatt, that was some great stuff. For Kansas fans that want to go read more of your stuff, want to get more of an in-depth look at Missouri State, where can they find you on Twitter, X, whatever
Twitter,
we're calling it now,
X.
And then on,
I'm at WyattWheeler_NL. I am at newsleader.com, putting out a lot of Missouri State, Kansas stuff this week. Also have the Wyatt's World podcast, anywhere you get podcasts. And had a lengthy talk about Missouri State and Kansas and just kind of what the expectations are, because you, as Missouri State, you always circle the FBS game as kind of a loss. You know, a few years ago when they announced this game, everybody's like, oh, Kansas, MSU's going to get its first win over an FBS in a long time. But Kansas is watchable now, so I'm happy for you guys and happy for your listeners.
Yeah, well, I think K fans are fired up for this season and fired up for what should be a really fun game on Friday night. Thanks a bunch, Wyatt, and we'll see you at Memorial Stadium on Friday.
Yeah, no problem.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.